continue discussing a few ideas relating to the mitzvah of tefillin. Okay, first idea. I think I'm just running through some random ideas, rushing through the pages, things that I came across that I find interesting. What happens if chas v'shalom a person's tefillin fall on the floor? So what are you supposed to do? Okay, what now? There are different.
You're supposed to fast.
Now, if the tefillin are in the tefillin zekel, they're in the bag. There's nothing to talk about. You don't have to fast. You don't have to really do anything. You can give tzedakah. If you want to, you can give some stuff. But what happens when you're putting on the tefillin mamish and you're holding the tefillin in your hands and the tefillin fall on the floor? So me'ikar hadin, we are supposed to fast. That is really what? Either the shal rosh or the shal yad. It does not make a difference. Me'ikar hadin, we are supposed to fast. Now let's talk about another situation. Let's say chas v'shalom a sefer Torah falls on the floor. Chas v'shalom. So there the halacha is, not necessarily the whole tzibur, anyone who saw, who witnesses the sefer Torah on the floor is mechuyev to fast. Okay, now there are, sometimes in the shul, but that when it comes to tefillin, this is the only really point we want to make, is that is not correct. That is not true. That is a clear distinction between tefillin and Sefer Torah. If the tefillin, even if they're outside of their cases, they're all alone, let's say even both, the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh, they fall on the floor, the only one who has to fast is the one who dropped the tefillin. The one who dropped, not the one who owns the tefillin, the one who dropped the tefillin.
But it's got to be that it's not in its case.
Right, when it's not in its case, then, but if someone is standing right there within Dalet Amos and watches it happen right in front of him, he has no obligation whatsoever to fast. This is a difference between the Sefer Torah and tefillin. Now, even when it comes to tefillin, he says over here that when it comes to a child, let's say this happens, a child, the bar mitzvah boy, 30 days before his bar mitzvah, he starts putting on tefillin. He's not used to it. It's clumsy. And I'm sure it happens pretty often. So the bar mitzvah boy, the one who's not yet bar mitzvah, he drops his tefillin. So he brings over here very strong words from who or where are his words from?
10-year-old kid to tell him, put them on film.
Well, let's say tell a 10-year-old kid, so he says here.
There is a technique what to take
exactly.
Out.
So let me just say, so we dropped the tefillin. So the words which really caught me, the words which caught my attention from Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, Rav Eliashiv Zechzad Levracha, Omar Dimnaflu Tefillin Miyodah Shal Katan Lefnei Bar Mitzvah, Oz Chalila. Loy latsum bichlal. Chas v'shalom should a child fast. This is not something. There's no chinuch when it comes to bar mitzvah boy. This happened. Like this. Someone who's not yet bar mitzvah within his first 30 days of practicing, putting on tefillin, the tefillin fall. Chas v'shalom that you should even have a hava meaning that he should have to fast. He does write the uchshel yigdal yilmad od yoser. When he gets a little bit older, bar mitzvah, he should learn a few more minutes. He should learn a few more minutes extra that he would not ordinarily learn to be a kapara for the falling of the tefillin. Now, what about an adult? So they all bring down this that a lot of the Gedolei Yisrael, they say that if you're learning in kollel, if you're in kollel, you don't have to. That's right. That's exactly. Everyone over here, this applies to everyone over here as well. You should bedafka not fast. Because there's no greater schus for a person than learning. And if you fasting is going to take away from your learning even a small degree, it's not kedai. It's not. If a person is a balabas and you're in the field and you're working, so then in a chanami, maybe indeed there is such an thing that a person, if he can, he should fast. But if you are a person who spends your day learning Torah, someone in high school, someone whatever, someone in Beis Medrash, someone in Kollel, then no, you should bedafka not fast. It's not the right thing to do. Instead, you should give tzedakah and you should learn more. How much tzedakah should you give? So the all right, and tzedakah you should give is the value of what it costs you to eat two meals, two sudos. How much do you spend on your lunch and dinner? Make a calculation. Whatever it costs to eat lunch and dinner, that is the amount of money you should give to tzedakah. What? If you go to a restaurant, it gets expensive. If you go every single night to a restaurant. What?
If you eat at home.
So whatever it cost at home, you make a calculation. How much does my lunch cost? It cost 84 cents. So you only mechuyif to give 84 cents for your. Let's go to the next topic. Next topic that we discussed in much more detail last time, we discussed the tefillin of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. the Shulchan Aruch writes that Meikar Hadin, the way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch is this Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, the parashos are put in the boxes in different order. According to Rashi, it's Shema, V'hoya im Shemaya, Kadesh, V'hoya ki Yiviyacha. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Shema, V'hoya im Shemaya, V'hoya ki Yiviyacha. And then is Kadesh. The two Shemas, the other way around, sorry. Kadesh, V'hoya ki Yiviyacha, V'hoya im Shemaya, and Shema. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the two V'hoyas are next to each other in the bottom. It's Kaddish, on the right side is Kaddish, V'hoya ki Yiviyacha, then is V'hoya im Shemaya, and then is Shema. According to Rashi, it's Kaddish, V'hoya ki Yiviyacha, Shema, V'hoya im Shemaya. According to Meikar Hadin, in Shulchan Aruch it says that a person's head can accommodate two pairs of tefillin at the same time. We have very large heads. Right. You see that by the Kaisel. If you want to go see all the types of tefillin in the world, go to the Kaisel, hang out by the Kaisel Maravi for 10 minutes, and you'll come in contact with every type of pair of tefillin that exists in the world. In America, and all of the, you'll have to go from shul to find people wearing different types of tefillin, but by the Kaisel, they'll all come together, you'll see it all right there in one shot. Okay, but in any event, the Shulchan Aruch says that Makum Yesh Brosh Loniach Shteit, a person's head is large enough to accommodate two pairs of tefillin. That's Shaila. Does that mean side by side, or does that mean one front, one in back of the other? That's a big machlokes. What it means. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, a person should ideally put on two sets of tefillin at the same time. And you see this. You go to the Kaisel HaMaravi, you'll definitely see this. We're supposed to wear at the same time Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. At the same moment in time, on your arm and on your head. The problem is, it's Baal Tosef. How can you have on your head two pairs of tefillin at the same time?
What?
Shel Yad also. The Shel Yad on the kibbutz, you have at the same time Shel Yad and two pairs of two Shel Yads. There's enough space on the arm to accommodate two. Now, by the way, before we go further, let's point out that this is not necessarily true in today's times. The Zman HaZeh, the place can tell us, is that our tefillin today are approximately double the size of tefillin from the time of the Gemara. Why is that so? For many reasons. We don't really have the skill of writing the parashios so small. Today there are phenomenal. There are some incredible seifim out there in the world, but the ability to write the letters with precision in such small print is an art that has been lost from the average man.
I think it's even harder to make the batim if you want to make
the batim today, also because we have gassos today. Gassos in ancient times, they had dakos. They did not use different type of leather today, and they didn't have the technology, so they used much thinner leather. They were able to make the batims much smaller. So today, for two reasons: number one, we are mahader to use much gassos. Better skins that will last forever, that are perfectly square, which are automatically much thicker. And the parashios also, it's a mystery how they were able to write parashios that are so small. We have them. We have them in the Geniza, teeny little parashios. We have teeny little parashios, and today people marvel. The average cipher today cannot go anywhere near and write things that small with such precision. Yechidim, you're dealing with, you take all the cipher from today, maybe 1 in 100 can do to write like these teeny little size. The other 99 can phenomenally. The ksav is unbelievable. But for them to tell them to make a teeny little, that they can't do. They just don't have that skill. So for these two reasons, our tefillin today are approximately double the size. So therefore, many parts can say you can't even do this with Zman HaZeh. It's impossible today to put on your head two pairs of tefillin at the same time, because there is not enough room on the head today to accommodate two pairs of tefillin based upon the size of tefillin that we have in the Ka'ar have today. By the time of the Gemara, they did. Now, that does not stop many people from doing it anyway. If you go to the Kaisel HaMaravi, I guarantee you'll see people wearing two pairs of tefillin, which look approximately the same size as the average pair of tefillin, at the same time, because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, and the Shulchan Aruch does not talk about size. Now, then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, but you have to be very careful. You're not allowed to be mechah. When you put on the two pairs of tefillin, you have to be mechaveh that one of them is not the real tefillin. Only one is correct. Either is the halach is like Rashi, or the halach is like Rabbeinu Tam. The Goinim were very into the mahalach, what we call Rabbeinu Tam, while the Rishonim tell us that we paskin halach l'maisa like Rashi. Even Rabbeinu Tam was shoyel in Chaloyim, and he was told the halach is like Rashi. So one of them is not la halacha, it'll be about toisif. So merely you have to have kavan that one pair of tefillin should be nothing more than leather. Ritzuos ba'olma. Ritzuos. Now that's what, that's Shulchan Aruch, that's what I always believed, and that's that. But here I came across something very interesting, something new. And that is the Arizal. Now before we go to the Arizal, I just want to remind you something I always like to tell you, is that the world of halacha, of nigla, and the world of nister are two different worlds which have absolutely nothing in common. And the example I always like to give is, what is the worst avera you can possibly do? What's the worst possible avera? So it depends. If you're from the world of nigla, the world of the revealed, the litvisha olam, okay, the regular world, the worst thing you can do is avodah zara, gili arayus, shvichas damim, the big three. What can you do? If you live in the world of nister, the world of the Arizal, it's not so bad. Avodah zara, gili arayus, shvichas damim, no, it's like talking during davening. It's not so bad. There's Gilgulim and there's Tikkunim. You know, it's not. The worst thing you can do is be moitzi zera levatola. Be moitzi zera levatola in the olam of Nistar is worse than in the world of Nigla of Avodah Zarah Gili Arayah Shvichas Damim combined. Ooh. Combined. It's the worst. Now, in the world, let's shift back. In the world of Nigla, this idea of the Maitzi Zera Levatala doesn't even exist. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. It's nowhere to be found. I don't think it's anywhere to be found. Obviously, it's not a good thing. Al-Chayish for the Arizal. But look at the world of difference. The difference between the Olam HaNigla and the Olam HaNister. The two different worlds. Obviously, we're very influenced by the Olam HaNister. Okay, we're all heavily influenced by the Olam, so we take everything Olam Nistar very, very seriously, and we live in a world, we try to have both together. So here's something very interesting. According to the Arizal, it's a whole new mahalach and tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are not two different approaches to tefillin. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are mashlim one another. They complement one another. And he writes here, everything he's writing over here is from Gedolei Yisrael, he writes here something there, therefore according to Arizal, the only way you can properly wear tefillin is by wearing both of them at the same time, and bedavka, not having kavana, that one should be ritzuos. Let me take a step back. According to the Nigla, the Olam HaNigla, Shulchan Aruch, this Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, they are mutually exclusive. Only one is correct. The other one is not correct. Now, if you don't, you're running short on time, so you put both on at the same time. Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, at the same time, and you say Kshma, so you get them both in at the same time. Today, it's not practical for most of us to put on Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam at the same time. There's not enough room on that. So what do? You do the next best thing. Right. You first put on Rashi, and then when davening is over, you then put on Rabbeinu Tam. And Shalom Al Yisrael. Have a wonderful day. You are Mekayim Rashi, you are Mekayim Rabbeinu Tam, everything is fine and good, there's nothing to worry about. And if you happen to put them both on at the same time, you're running into trouble, because it's Baal Taisiv, so you must have Kavana, that one should be nothing more than Ritzuos, but almost should be nothing more than leather. But according to the Arizal, it's just the opposite. You only gain the benefit of wearing Rabbeinu Tam, if you wear Rabbeinu Tam at the same time that you wear Rashi. And when you're wearing Rabbeinu Tam with Rashi, your kavana should not be that they should be mutually exclusive. Your kavana should be that one, that they both work together. They both function together in order to achieve the goal of wearing tefillin in their perfect shleimus. Yeah.
According to that, Moshe Rabbeinu wore two pairs of tefillin?
Possible. According to the Arizal, yeah. I guess you have to say yes. Hashem is wearing two pairs of tefillin. According to the Arizal, yes. Exactly. It's exactly what the Arizal is saying.
You asked the other day why the Talmidei HaGaon Eretz Yisrael picked up the Chassidus Shulchan
Aruch. Yeah.
At least one, but more Talmidim of the Gra went to learn by the Maggid of Mizrich. and they became
influenced.
They with the
okay.
Death.
Okay.
How do you manage to put on the tzigus if you have to put it?
You put it both. You put it both on at the same
14?
Time. 14? Yeah. Put on 14 with tzigus.
Got a very long arm.
No, you put it in between when you put on the seven things. The space in between to put the second thing.
Okay, he brings over something else also about Reino Tam. I didn't mention last time that people have a tendency to think that Rabbeinu Tam has less kedusha. He has a mice. He has a mice here where a person dropped his tefillin. A person dropped his tefillin, and he asked the Chazon Ish, do I have to fast? So the Chazon Ish told him, yeah, you have to fast. And then he said to the Chazon Ish, but it was only Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. So the Chazon Ish got very upset. And the Chazon Ish says, v'chi tefillin Rabbeinu Tam yesh pachos kedusha mitfillin shel Rashi? How could you say that? So people have a tendency to think, oh, it's only Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Don't be so. Chazon Ish did not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Chaznish was that one of his things. Chaznish did not hold her. That was not his thing. But the Chaznish, when someone said to him he doesn't want to fast, he says to him, how dare you not fast? Rabbeinu Tam Tzol is no less Kedusha than the Tfilin of Rashi. Okay. A lot of shilas that people...
Why don't we make a bracha on
Rabbeinu Tam? We don't. So he says something very good. Why don't we make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam? So he's touched. Here's another new thing that I never saw, which to me is totally off the charts. Shocking thing. Let's ask another question. Why do we say on the Tefillah Shel Rosh, do many people not make a bracha? Ashkenazim make two brachas, Lahaniach Tefillah and the Shel Yad, and the Shel Rosh, Al Mitzvahs Tefillin, and we feel guilty. We feel guilty that we said Al Mitzvahs Tefillin, so we say immediately thereafter Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed, as if to say really it might be Bracha Levatala. And then the other opinion is no, so don't even say. So some want to say this is a real thick Chassid Shavart. This to me again, which is shocking to me. The reason why you don't make a bracha on the Tefillah Shel Rosh, I want to take a step back. Why Taka don't we make a bracha on the Tefillah Shel Rosh? I was always taught is because it's one mitzvah. The mitzvah you make the mitzvah Shel Yad HaShel is one mitzvah, so the bracha laniach automatically applies to the Shel Rosh. Some say no. In the world of Kabbalah, like I told you, the world of Kabbalah is a very different world than the world of Nigla. Two different worlds that have nothing to do with one another. In the world of Kabbalah, the reason why you don't make a bracha on the Tefillah Shel Rosh is because the Tefillah Shel Rosh is too holy. When you make a bracha, in the world of Kabbalah, you're bringing down from the other world, the Olam Elyon, the Kedusha to this world. You're bringing it down. The Tefillah Shel Rosh is so massively holy. Even if you would make a bracha, you would fail in succeeding in doing what it's meant to do. It's off limits. It's too hot to touch. So you don't make a bracha because it's too holy. Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam is only the world of Kabbalah, pretty much. I mean, therefore, they argue that's why you don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam. In the Olam HaNigla, we don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam. It's because we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. We paskin like Rashi, case closed. You don't make a bracha. But in the Olam of Kabbalah, the tefillin have so much kedusha. The tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam is shakal in concept to the Tefillah Shel Rosh. And just like the Tefillah Shel Rosh, you don't make a bracha. Or if you make a bracha, you have to apologize by saying a Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. The tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam in their entirety, even the Shel Yad of the tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, is too holy to make a bracha. I mean, that's a very interesting idea, which I certainly would never imagine to say such thing, but that's what he says over here. That's why I'm telling you this, because I'm trying to tell you things that are new to me and new to many of us. Okay, now once you talk about Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed, let me ask you a question. When do you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed? So the Mishnah Berura says you should be careful not to say it until after you tighten the tefillin.
That's right.
You put the tefillin on your head, you make the bracha Oyvel Yasi Yasan, and then you tighten it, And then when it's tight, it's secure, you then say, Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchuso Le'olam Voed. Now, L'chari, you should know that many times, especially Bar Mitzvah boy who's not very swift, or even adults who are not very swift either, by the time you say, Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchuso Le'olam Voed, it's too late. Because it's more than Toich Kedei Dibur. What is Toich Kedei Dibur? 2 seconds, 3 seconds? So if you have it on your head, and you make the bracha, Asher Kedushon B'mitzvah Sval Mitzvah Tefillin, and then you tighten it, you get it good, you get it good. By the time you finish it tightening it the way it should be, it already might be past 2 seconds. Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri. Or Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So what are you accomplishing when you say, Baruch Shem Kamalchuso Le'olam Voed? So the answer is, you have to, in Echanami, you have to do it very quickly. You have to tighten it so fast. So you should be able to say, Baruch Shem Kamalchuso Le'olam Voed, before, while it's still Toich Kedei Dibur. So you'll ask, why don't you say it right away? No, if you'll say it right away, it's a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah putting on tefillin. So you're really stuck in between. The Mishnah Berurah says you have to say, but you have to first tighten it, and then say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Voed. But if you say you delay in tightening it, like as you see a new bar mitzvah boy try as he tightens it until he gets it on the right way, it's way past the 2-3 seconds of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Voed. So what are you really gaining? And what's interesting over here, even though this is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, in this Siddur Hayayvetz of Yaakov Emden, he has a Siddur. He has a lot of very interesting things in this. One of the things he wrote in the Siddur was, just as an aside, Sheloi Osani Ovet. He wrote there on the side, he changed the ayin to an aleph. He had a lot of agmas nefesh with his fight with Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz.
Yeah.
And he changed the ayin to an aleph. To say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Melechem Shelo Yosani Av Bezdin. Baruch Hashem, I'm not a Rav. I'm not a Rav, I'm not an Av Bezdin. In his Siddur, it says, shocking thing, that you should say, Baruch Shem Kermalchuso Le'olam Voed immediately, before you even fasten the Ritzuos on the Rosh. That's Mamish Kneged, the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah came much, much later, of course. But that's Mamish Kneged, the Mishnah Berurah is just the opposite. And the big mystery is, what's the Lamdus? L'choyer, it should be a Bracha Levatol. You're creating a whole new Lamdus, and what that means. That Baruch Shem, you say the Bracha, and then you say Baruch Shem, and then you tighten it? Isn't the Baruch Shem going to be a Hefsik? So he's saying it's not a Hefsik. So what? So the other thing over here is very mysterious. It doesn't explain what the Lamdus, you have to think about what the Lamdus is. What the Lamdus behind that is. However, there are many people, he writes over here in the footnotes, that there are many who argue that this was not written by the by Rav Yaakov Emden. This was inserted by an editor who was Nam Haaretz, who did not know what he was doing. He wrote footnotes in the Siddur. Okay, and it was not checked by the editorial staff of Art School, and that's how this thing, which is Shaloik Halacha, crept in. Okay, next thing, let's talk about the Ritzuos and the Shalyad. The Ritzuos and the Shalyad, we put on the Shalyad, we tie Ritzuos. Now, by the way, do you go forward or backwards? You go forward. So if Hasidim, the Hasidim, they go away from their body, the Litvish Olam, they go forward. It's very interesting that the Rav Chaim Kinievsky, Zolzayin Gezutin Stark, the way he puts on tefillin is not the way his father, the Stibler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Stibler, for whatever reason, when he did the Ritzuos, he did it like the Hasidim. He did it away from his body. Mm-hmm. And his son, Rav Chaim Kinievsky, does it towards his body. So what happened? I don't know what happened that the son, Rav Chaim, does not put on tefillin like his father. Halacha l'mayis, we make a bracha. What do? We make a bracha. We put on the tefillin. So what do we all do? We do the Zayin Krichas. And then we wrap it up in our hand, and then we put on the tefillah Shal Rosh. Rav Moshe Feinstein was well known. He said that Shalik Halacha, the Zayin Krichas is not Mikr Hadin. Wrapping it 7 times, that's not, nowhere is it recorded in Shas or Paiskim to wrap around 7 times. The only thing that's ma'akev is to wrap it around the finger. The Gemara has to go until the finger, so Rav Moshe put it 1 time around his arm, then he did 3 times around his finger, which is the Iker Kashira, that ties, that keeps the tefillin in place, and then he put on the tefillah shalosh. This was the meaning of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's brought in Rav Shimon Eider Sefer. Every bar mitzvah bacha knows this, where Rav Moshe did, he put on the shalyad, He did one time. He did the Icarus, the three fingers, which no one. And then he put on the Shel Rosh. Then he put on the Shel Rosh. And then he undid the fingers and he did the Zayin Klichas.
It's very important to know if you walk into shul late and you're going to miss Kedusha, and you can put on the tefillin just that way.
Okay.
That's what you should do.
Einochanan. So this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein did. So this everyone also knows that Rav David Feinstein doesn't do it like this. Rav David Feinstein, okay, he puts on like all of us seven times, doesn't do anything around the finger, maybe put around the arm once, whatever, around the hand, and then puts on the Shel Rosh. And everyone says to Rav David Feinstein, every Bar Mitzvah Bacha says, it says in Rav Shimon Ida Sefer, which they teach all the Bar Mitzvah boys, it says this is how Rav Moshe did it. How could it be? How you talking to Rav Moshe's own son does not do like this? So he says, listen, who taught me how to put on tefillin? I was a little boy. My father put on the tefillin with me. My father taught me this is how you put on tefillin. My father taught me to put on tefillin with the Zayin Klicha. It's like everyone else. Enoch Hanami. Rav Moshe did it for himself. He had his cheshbonos. But even his own children, he taught them to do like everyone else, the Nino Ka'olam. Now, what's very interesting, he brings down from many Rosh Yeshiva that they did different. People do different is they do the Zayin Klichos and they also immediately they do both. They do the Zayin Klichos and they also do the three around of it because the Lechoira, that's the Iker. The Iker Kashira is to do around, that's the length of the Ritzua to do around the finger. And then there's another big Shiloh, what do you do with the leftovers? The leftover straps. So many of us just wrap it around the hand and they stick it in. Somehow that's not enough. It says Ukishar Tam. What's the Kashira? Is the Kashira the Yud? It's already really been taught. We're just tightening it. Some learn the Kashira is the very last Maisa. When you take that last Ritzua and you tuck it in, that is the Maisa Kashira. It's not the Pashtus. The Pashtus says it should be tied. It's already tied. The Yud already has been made. Everything already has been made. You're just putting it on and moving it around. That's not a Maisa Kashira. So where's the Maisa Kashira? You tie it into your fingers. Ad Kidei Kach, he cites here many Gedei Yisrael, not many, there are Gedei Yisrael, we're not satisfied just to stick the Ritzua in the Ritzuos. They did with the Ritzuos a Maisa Kashira. They made a knot. They took
so
the Ritzuos.
There's a Shita, he brings it, Rabinowitz brings it, that just like you have a Yud on the tefillin, on the other end you should also have a Yud.
Yeah.
So on it's like a knot at the other end, and then when you put it in, you put
okay.
It,
but it's a Maisa Kashira. Ad Kidei Kach, some even go so far they did not say the psukim. We all put the tefillin on and we say Pesach Hashidach Masiluch Haratzon Deirastichli. You have no right to say those psukim until the Maisa Kshira is complete. So you put on your Shel Rosh, you put on the Shel, you put on, and then you tie the three, and then you can first start reciting the psukim. So it not be a hefsek because the Maisa Kshira is when you either when you stick it in or Ad Kidei Kach Tam Amish to tie it, to do a Maisa to make a knot. Obviously, that's not our minute. The average person does not do any of these things. You don't go wrap it around your finger three times first. We don't go and make a knot. Okay, we don't make a knot. And we do say all of these things. However, he does bring a pshara, something very interesting. He brings down here, I thought he said, I think it was old Yashu, maybe Shem Zalman Arbach. Even though the minig olam is not to do this, the minig olam is we put Zayin Klichos, and then we put on the Shel Rosh, and then we finish up. When some of the Gedolim took off their tefillin, they don't do like what we do. What do? We do the exact reverse order. We first remove it from the hand.
That's what we do.
And then we take off the Shel Rosh. And then we take off. So we do it in the reverse order. Exactly. They made a pshara. Putting it on only Zayin, and then the Shel Rosh, and then they put on. But taking it off, since you take off the Shel Rosh first, and then you take off the Shel Yad, so they didn't do anything on the Yad. They left everything on the Yad the way it is, with the three krichos, and it tied in under the arm. They take off the Shel Rosh, and then they take off the Shel Yad. So even though in the order of putting on the tefillin, we follow the minhag ha'olam, whatever the reason is, which is not really clear why we do it like that way, but at least for taking off, then they follow what appears to be correct in halacha that the tying of the round on the yad. Tying of the yad is here.
No.
Is that here? Okay, it's on the yad. Okay, now let's discuss.
So, but there is no real reason. There There is no given reason. So why do we do it and split it that way? Why do we do Zayin Krichas and stop when the shell rosh and then come back to the end?
I guess we feel that tying the Zayin Krichas is a chelik of fasting of Kashir, is a Maisa Kashira. The support of it being there seven times, there is a Maisa Kashira. That itself is equivalent to a Maisa Kashira. And the thing of the three fingers, that's only a din in the shear of how long the Ritzua has to be. Okay, now there's another...
There's a practical reason.
Yeah.
If you tie up your hand, you can't deal with
it. Right. If your hands are all tied up, most of us don't have that problem. Right. Okay, Enochanam. Okay, Enochanam. Enochanam.
Why is that? I take off.
What?
Between Hasidim and...
I don't know why. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Why you go different way. I have no idea why. Okay, now another quick thing. You hear the single thing? They're giving.
Bring it to the heart.
Take, right? The Hasidim, they give. They make tikkun. They're generous. The Litvax, take, right? Like, you know the story, someone is drowning. Someone is drowning, and you go over to the guy drowning, and you say, "Sir, give me your hand. I'll save you. Give me." Ain't no response. Give me your hand, I'll save you. No response. Take my hand. Now when you say, take my hand, all of a sudden he's willing to be saved. As long as you take me, you're not giving. Now, so when you say, with the minig olam, we say, comes to seven, we say, posef, so definitely, see, we'll tell you, point out if you say when you, right, Pinto, are you here? When we say seven, why pesach es yedecha maspil l'chol chayra? It brings that from Eliel Lapian. Why do we say this pasuk b'dafka pesach es yedecha maspil l'chol chayra? It's because this is bar mitzvah boy, and the first thing I teach a bar mitzvah boy is Hashem provides parnasa. You sit and learn. What he says, you sit and learn. You sit in this parsha. You sit and learn. Rabbi Shur, Avraham Shur, one of you know where Avraham Shur, one of his big things is tefillah. He loves tefillah. He gives a shiur like none other. He gives every Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, he still gives every Sunday. He gives a shiur for bar mitzvah boys. Bar mitzvah boys in the afternoon, he teaches them the laws of tefillah and also machshava, drush, on in Yonei Tefillin. The Shiurim are a sensation. It's to the point where no longer do only bar mitzvah boys come. The parents come, people who have no shaykhs to bar mitzvah, they come Sunday to hear him teach these boys about Tefillin. So one of his big things, which I heard him say many times, is from a certain Rebbe, in addition to saying Poseach es yodecha maspil l'chol chai ratzon, he would say V'hatem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayoim. Why this pasuk? Because on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when you say hayoim, hayoim tamtzeinu, hayoim tigaleinu, hayoim, I don't remember by heart. How many are there? There are seven. There are seven. So therefore, when you're saying Hatem Adikim Hashem Chaim Kulchem Hayom, you're coming. He's here. So he's coming to say these sentences. Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Pinter, come. I want to introduce Rabbi Pinter with this, tell you something very interesting.